buying them cabbage and cabbage soup. The one thing he longed for more than anything else was chocolate. Walking to school in the mornings, Charlie could see great slabs of chocolate piled high in the shop windows, and he would stop and stare and press his nose against the glass, his mouth watering like mad. But the one awful thing that tortured little Charlie, the lover of chocolate, more than anything else, was this. In the town itself, actually within sight of the house in which Charlie lived, there was an enormous chocolate factory. This was Wonka's factory, owned by a man called Mr. Willy Wonka, the greatest inventor and maker of chocolates there has ever been. And what a tremendous, marvelous place it was. It had huge iron gates leading into it, and a high wall surrounding it, and smoke belching from its chimneys, and strange whizzing sounds coming from deep inside it. And outside the walls, for half a mile around in every direction, the air was scented with a heavy, rich smell of melting chocolate. Oh, how he loved that smell. And oh, how he wished he could go inside the factory and see what it was like. In the evenings, after he had finished his supper of watery cabbage soup, Charlie always went into the room of his four grandparents to talk to them and to listen to their stories. One evening he said to them, "Is it really true that Wonka's chocolate factory is the biggest in the world?" "True," cried all four of them at once. "Of course it's true. Good heavens, didn't you know that? It's about 50 times as big as any other. And is Mr. Willy Wonka really the cleverest chocolate maker in the world?" "My dear boy," said Grandpa Joe, raising himself up a little higher on his pillow, "Mr. Willy Wonka is the most amazing, the most fantastic, the most extraordinary chocolate maker the world has ever seen. I thought everybody knew that. You mean to say I've never told you about Mr. Willy Wonka and his factory?" "Never," answered little Charlie. "Mr. Willy Wonka can make marshmallows that taste of violets, and rich caramels that change color every 10 seconds as you suck them, and little feathery sweets that melt away deliciously the moment you put them between your lips. He can make chewing gum that never loses its taste, and candy balloons that you can blow up to enormous sizes before you pop them with a pin and gobble them up." "Is all this really true?" Charlie asked, "or are you pulling my leg?" "It's true," cried all four of the old people at once. "Ask anyone you like." "And I'll tell you something else that's true," said Grandpa Joe. And now he leaned closer to Charlie and lowered his voice to a soft, secret whisper. "Nobody ever comes out." "Out of where?" asked Charlie. "And nobody ever goes in." "In where?" cried Charlie. "Wonka's factory, of course." "Grandpa, what do you mean?" "I mean workers, Charlie. All factories have workers streaming in and out of the gates in the mornings and evenings, except Wonka's. Have you ever seen a single person going into that place? Or coming out?" "Not so very long ago," Grandpa Joe went on, "there used to be thousands of people working in Mr. Willy Wonka's factory. Then one day, all of a sudden, Mr. Wonka had to ask every single one of them to leave, to go home, never to come back." But why?" asked Charlie. "Because of spies. All the other chocolate makers had begun to grow jealous of the wonderful candies that Mr. Wonka was making, and they started sending in spies to steal his secret recipes. The spies took jobs in the Wonka factory, pretending they were ordinary workers. And while they were there, each one of them found out exactly how a certain special thing was made. And Mr. Willy Wonka tore his beard and shouted, 'This is terrible! I shall be ruined! There are spies everywhere! I must close the factory!' So he shut the main gates and fastened them with a chain. And Wonka's giant chocolate factory became silent and deserted. Not a soul went in or out. And even Mr. Willy Wonka himself disappeared completely. Months and months went by, Grandpa Joe continued, but still the factory remained closed. Then something astonishing happened. One day, thin columns of white smoke were seen to be coming out of the tops of the tall chimneys of the factory. People in the town stopped and stared. "What's going on?" they cried. "Someone's lit the furnaces. Mr. Wonka must be opening up again." They ran to the gates, expecting to see them wide open and Mr. Wonka standing there to welcome his workers back. But no. The great iron gates were still locked and chained as securely as ever, and Mr. Wonka was nowhere to be seen. "But the factory is working," the people shouted. "Listen, you can hear the machines. They're all whirring again. And you can smell the smell of melting chocolate in the air." Grandpa Joe leaned forward and laid a long, bony finger on Charlie's knee. And he said softly, "But most mysterious of all, Charlie, were the shadows in the windows of the factory. The people standing on the street outside could see small, dark shadows moving about behind the frosted glass windows." "Shadows of whom?"